The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 30th, 2010, in Lynn Asia, South Africa.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 8, Attaining the Supreme. Text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Mam upetya punarjanma. Dukalayam shashvatam. Napnuvanti mahatmana. Tamsidim paramangata. Mam upetya punarjanma. Dukalayam shashvatam. Napnuvanti mahatmana. Tamsidim paramangata. Translation in purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet Krishna Loka Goloka Vrindavan does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyakta and Akshara and Paramagati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable. That is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas, great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees, and thus gradually develop a devotional service in Krishna consciousness, and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personless devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the Supreme Souls. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatam Barakama Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam
jatam sagana raghunatam vritam tam sajivam sudaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamritamscha.
One can inquire, because on one hand, Prabhupada says, these personalities have no desire to return to this place where there's birth, death, old age, and disease. Once they go to that planet, Krishna Loka, they don't want to return. But then he also states here, they don't even desire elevation to a spiritual planet. So one could inquire, is this a contradiction? On the one hand, in stating they don't want anything to do with this material world, and then it's saying they don't care, they don't even care for going to the spiritual world, you see. These great souls described here, you see. So it's an interesting psychology going on here. Very interesting psychology, isn't it? The shloka itself is saying these yogis in devotion never return to this material world. They never come back again, you see. Na apnuvanti. After attaining, they never come back again to this place of miseries. So the material world is so repugnant for these mahatmas that they want nothing to do with it, and then why is it that they don't even care about going to a spiritual planet? One could ask. Well, the fact is these mahatmas are transcendentally situated. That's the thing. They are transcendentally situated. They can be happy in any atmosphere. Because they are Krishna conscious. Whether you're in this material world or in the spiritual world, they are always connected with Krishna. This is why Lord Chaitanya could pray, Nadanam Janam Sundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavatat Bhakti Rahaita Kidvai. I don't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want followers, I don't even care for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. All I need is devotional service, that's all I need. So, by dint of that absorption in devotional service, these mahatmas are already living in the spiritual world. That's why they don't care about being transferred to any spiritual planet or material planet. It's not an issue for them. It doesn't matter where they are in this material world. They can be Patala Loka, they can be in Brahma Loka, they can be in the Earth planet, they can be in any country. It doesn't matter. China, South Africa, the US, UK, it doesn't matter. Any country, any place, you see. Because wherever they go, they see Krishna. Yomam pashyati sarvata sharam chamayi pashyati tashaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. You know that verse? Chapter 6, text 30, Bhagavad Gita. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So the Krishna conscious person, he sees Krishna at every minute. Of course, he sees the material world, but he sees it translucently. He sees behind it there is Krishna. He sees it as the emanation of Krishna. You see. He sees the material world as the energy of Krishna, and what therefore does he do with that energy? He engages it in the service of Krishna. You see? That is Mahatma. So on the other side of the coin, what are they called? Duratman. Just like you have Durban, there's Duratman. So the Duratma, you see, he does not see Krishna as the center. Who does the Duratma see as the center? Himself. And he lives his life making himself or herself the center of existence. So, how successful is the Duratma in doing that? They never succeed, actually. Sometimes they think they succeed, you see. They become big, big politician, big, big rock star, big, big soccer star, you see. Big, big businessman, big, big philanthropist. Sometimes they think, yes, now I am the center, I have got it. I made the big time. You see? But how long can they stay there? How long will they stay in that so-called position of supremacy? They will be smashed by the material energy. Why is that? Time and tide wait for no man. Where are all the great personalities now? Where is Napoleon? Where is Churchill? Where is Gandhi? Where are all these great leaders? George Washington. Where are all these big names now? John Lennon. All these big names, where are they now? Michael Jackson. You see, where are these big names now? They've vanished. They vanished into oblivion. Where are they? No one can say where they are. You see? Napoleon, maybe he's a rat running around the rifle tower now. You see? Who can say where they are? These great personalities. So, as a Duratma, you may have your day according to your karma. Sometimes you will be a Brahmaji, sometimes Indraji, sometimes rock star, sometimes soccer star, sometimes millionaire. By your karma, everyone has their chance. What is the saying? Every dog has his day. Everybody in this room has been a powerful demigod in the past. They're a great, wealthy king in the past. All of us have had our shot at being great in this material world, you see, by the laws of karma. We've all gone up and down, around and around this not-so-merry-go-round called karma chakra, you see. We've all seen it. We've been in every position. We've been white, we've been black, we've been in between, we've been male, we've been female, we've been peacock, we've been peahen. We've been everything. We've tried every possible way to enjoy, and what happened? We still weren't satisfied, so we wanted to try again in this another way. You see? But a person who is intelligent, those who are philosophically inclined, who are intelligent, they don't want to endeavor for that purposeful end. They endeavor for that purposeful end, which is not obtainable by wandering from Brahmaloka to Patalaloka. You see? They realize there's something wrong here. This is not right. I want pure happiness without any misery, But I see that this material world is simply dishing out misery, 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 a little happiness in between to keep you going. That's it. It's simply dishing out misery. This doesn't seem right. This seems something is going wrong here. You see, an intelligent person, he analyzes like that. There's something going wrong. I want pure happiness. Why I can't have it? What's holding me back from that? My natural inclination. The fish wants to be in the water. He can get the water. The human being wants to swim in an ocean of happiness at every minute. Why is he not doing it? Because every species is living according to the laws of nature, except for the human species. They are acting outside of the laws of nature. Which species is polluting the Gulf of Mexico right now with millions of gallons of oil? The human being, you see. The fish aren't. The octopuses, or octopi, or whatever they say on the plural. The fish aren't doing it. It's the human beings who are acting out of the laws of nature. So we human beings on this planet are not happy, we're not satisfied, we're bewildered, we're confused, we're devastated, because we are not acting according to the laws of nature. We are not acting in our natural state of consciousness that we are meant to be in. Every other species is doing it except for us. We're deviating from the laws of nature, and therefore, no matter how much we may try to lord it over nature by this way and that way, by shooting rockets off to the so-called moon planet, you see, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's not making us happy. So, we're very fortunate that that Supreme Person, who is the source of all existence, from whom everything is emanating at every minute, and who is our ever-well-wisher, has so kindly given us just the information we need how to get back to our normal, natural, original state of consciousness in perfect harmony with the laws of nature, and along with Mother Nature, there is the Father also, Krishna. How to get back in perfect harmony with the laws of nature and with the laws of the Supreme Father, Krishna. So, the natural position is called Mahatma. The unnatural position is called Duratma. So, this Bhagavad Gita is a guidebook, a textbook. It is an instructional manual how the Duratmas can transform themselves into Mahatmas. How those who are living out of harmony with the laws of nature can adjust their consciousness, can elevate their consciousness, can purify their consciousness, can refine their consciousness, and become back in a perfect state of harmony with the Supreme Source of all existence, the Supreme Person. This is the original natural state. It's like gold. You pull it out of the mine, it needs refining, you see. It's not pure gold. But you go through a refining process, and then you get pure gold. So right now, the Duratma actually is a Mahatma, but he just has so many impurities mixed in his consciousness. That's all. All it takes is a process of refining the consciousness. And then that Duratma, as he becomes more and more refined, is gradually transformed. You see, everybody's is existing on a Duratma Mahatma scale, you see. If you're 1% Mahatma, if you're 91% Mahatma, you're 99% Duratma. In this way, you gradually tilt the scale, you see, in the other way, to where you're 50% Mahatma, 50% Duratma. And gradually become 100% Mahatma. As the purification process is going on. So, this spiritual master is our kind, our most kind-hearted friend, because he has the potency to transform us triple-minded dhiratmas into mahat. We simply have to hear from the spiritual master, serve the spiritual master, you see. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him, submissively render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. You see, they can see Krishna at every minute. So, if we can take instructions from such mahatmas, such purified souls, then we will become mahatmas, purified souls ourselves. It's like if we're sick, we go to the doctor. The doctor gives us medicine, we become well. So the doctor, Srila Prabhupada, Dr. Prabhupada, you see, he is giving us this medicine. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought this medicine. This wonderful medicine. The spiritual master is bringing this medicine to us to cure us from the material disease, the dhiratma disease, so that we can become awakened in Krishna consciousness. We can come back to our original, natural, pure state of consciousness before we became polluted by contact with this material atmosphere. Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapapma vidyanam mihavaryanam. It is lust only, Arjuna, born of contact with the three with the material mode of passion, and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So that lust, and along with it comes anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, all these things come along with lust, you see. So by this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, you see. By these activities, all this contamination in the heart is washed away. And what is the result? Well, it's pretty ecstatic. It's bliss, pure bliss. Because as long as we try to be what we're not, it's a miserable condition. No matter what you do, it doesn't work. If you're trying to be your material body, I'm male, I'm female, I'm this, I'm that, you're trying to be your body, then you are trying to be something that you're not, and you will never be satisfied. It's not possible. But if you will learn from Guru, Vaishnavas, and scriptures how to be who you actually are, it becomes so easy, becomes so natural, that sometimes it is even said, it's easier to be a pure devotee than it is not to be a pure devotee. Sometimes we think, well, being a pure devotee, that'd be so hard. Wow, it'd be just too much. I don't think I can handle being a pure devotee. But actually, this is our misconception. To be a pure devotee is easier than being a mixed devotee. It's much easier. Why are we holding on to the mixed position? Well, it's pretty stupid. Stupidity is the best word. Just sheer stupidity, that's all. Just imagine you're on the Titanic, right? And it's sinking. But the they didn't inform the orchestra yet. Right? They're still in the ballroom playing away. You know? And there's a call for the lifeboats, and you got one foot in the lifeboat, and the other's still in the Titanic. And you think, well, maybe there's time for one more dance in the ballroom before this thing sinks, you know. I mean, just see how stupid that would be. Do you know that some of the lifeboats that went out almost empty? Do you know that? Some of the lifeboats in the Titanic went out almost empty with no one in them. A few people got in and they took off, and so many people, I mean, it was a very tragic thing, you see. But we're like that, you know. We got one foot in the lifeboat, Krishna consciousness, And they got the other foot on the material existence, the sinking Titanic. And we're thinking, well, I don't know, maybe this way, maybe that way. I don't know. Is it? How foolish we are. Sheer stupidity. So, don't be stupid. Okay? Don't be stupid. Give up this ambivalent mentality, should I or should not, should I not become Krishna conscious. Just give it up. Go full on into Krishna consciousness. What about my family? No, you'll be the best father. You'll be the best husband. You'll be the best wife. You'll be the best son. You'll be the best everything. The best employee, the best citizen. If you become Krishna conscious, you'll be the best everything. You won't lose anything if you become Krishna conscious. So don't even think like that. It's something, no, you'll be, everything will become the best if you become Krishna conscious with it. Anyway, we have 10 minutes left. And I'd like to open it up for questions now. And now I hear this very good. I like this system of the in writing. It's very good. Appreciate that a lot. Okay. Okay. How can we learn to appreciate the Vaishnavas more in our lives? Well, you have to realize what is the rare opportunity to get a Vaishnava's association out of the 8,400,000 species and other human species. How rare it is to get a Vaishnava's association. Just imagine if you're a turtle swimming around the Pacific Ocean. And once a year, you stick your head up for a minute to have a look around. Once a year. And also within that Pacific Ocean, there's a board floating. In that board, there's a little knot hole in the board, you see. So what are the odds of when you stick your head up that it'll go through the knot hole in that board? It's very infinitesimal odds. So just try to understand what is the rare opportunity to have the association of a Vaishnava. It is the greatest blessing, and we take each other for granted. I'm telling you, we do that. We take each other for granted. This is our foolishness. We have to realize there's no greater blessing in all the three worlds than getting the association of a Vaishnava. Okay, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Since the great souls do not seek to attain the higher planets or even Krishna Loka itself, is it right then to use that promise for liberation of Krishna Loka as motivation in Krishna consciousness? Actually, this is the way to be guaranteed entrance into Krishna Loka. It's simply desire devotional service. You see, the great Mahatmas, they don't care whether they serve here in Krishna Loka. For them, it's all Krishna Loka, really. That's the qualification to go back to Godhead. To just have only one desire, and that's to serve Krishna. Well, if you say, Krishna, I'll be your devotee if I can come to Krishna Loka. Well, guess what? You just put a condition. That's not pure bhakti. So there's nothing wrong with the desiring to go back to Godhead. You have to understand the way to qualify to go back to Godhead. And that is to simply desire to be engaged in service. The qualification to go back to Godhead is to be happy to serve in any world, this world or that world. It won't matter to you, you see. Because devotional service in itself is indeed the spiritual world for the pure devotee. So yes, we do. It is a proper desire to go back to God, but you have to know how to qualify. It seems Krishna consciousness is a transition from conditioned state to a pure state. How does one balance one's own material needs, attachment, and conditioned activities, and make a steady progress toward purity? Okay. Vidyam chavidyam yashtad vidobiyam saha vidyayam ritam tirtva vidyayam ritam ashnute. Shesha Upanishad mantra number 11. So this mantra is saying only that person who can cultivate nescience and transcendence side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth or death and attain the full blessings of immortality. So we're not saying you have to be a, you know, a material world basket case. They have to lock you up in a mental hospital because you can't even function here. That's what we're not saying. One who becomes Krishna conscious, purely Krishna conscious, he becomes expert in everything. Just see how expert Prabhupada was. Even in material dealings, even in material dealings in America, Prabhupada was more expert than his American disciples, can you imagine? I forget that the person's name, Mr. What was it? Bogart, I think it was his name. He made some shady real estate deal that you have to give me a $5,000 deposit to show that you're serious about buying this house. And there was no contract, just give me the money in the hand. And the 26 Akanu boys, he was glorifying Prabhupada. Oh, your Swamiji is so wonderful, and this will be a wonderful temple for you. So just give me the $5,000 to show you're serious, and maybe I'll even get the owner to donate it for you. He was a middleman; he wasn't the owner. And so this shyster, Mr. Bogart, I think was his name, he pulled the wool over the devotee's eyes, and they lost. And that was a lot of money for those 26 Second Avenue, $5,000. That's a huge sum of money in those days. They were getting like 25 cents was the total collection of the Sunday feast. If you can imagine $5,000, maybe it was 50 cents. You got the idea. You know what the original Sunday love feast was? One apple cut into small pieces. Everybody got a little piece of the apple. That's how poor ISKCON was in the early days. You can imagine? That was the prasadam that Prabhupada gave out to the whole room. He had one apple to give out to the whole room. Of course, getting an apple, a piece of apple from Prabhupada's hand, it would be the ultimate prasadam. No problem. We wouldn't mind. But ISKCON was very, very poor in those days, and they, you know, and $5,000. But Prabhupada was able to get it back. The devotees couldn't. So it's not that one becomes an incompetent, misfit person in the material world when he becomes fully Krishna conscious. As I mentioned earlier, he becomes the best friend, the best father, the best mother, the best employee, the best boss, the best musician, the best singer, the best writer, the best dancer, the best everything. So one's mundane activities will be done in a very wonderful way. Yat karoshi yadishnashi yojjahosi dadasiya yat tifashyashi komteya tat karushva madarpanam. One's activities will be done in the most wonderful way because they'll all be offered to Krishna. Even when you brush your teeth, you'll be doing it for Krishna. Everything will be for Krishna. Is happiness pure or not a fruit of one's action? Therefore, something we should not focus on. No, your real happiness is a result of your consciousness. Action is a result of consciousness. You see, if you act but you don't have your consciousness not there, then that action will not continue. I may sweep the floor for Krishna. You see, I may sweep the floor here in the temple. But if in my consciousness it's not for Krishna, I'm just doing it for, I don't know why I'm doing it, then my sweeping of the floor in Krishna's temple will not continue. It will be here today and gone tomorrow, you see. But if my consciousness is, I want to please Krishna, you understand? Then I can sweep for millions of years. I can go on sweeping the temple room for millions and billions of years and become more ecstatic with each and every sweep of that broom. You understand? This is transcendental consciousness. So happiness is not the fruit of action. Happiness is the fruit of consciousness. Therefore, one should always remember, why am I doing this? Why am I putting on a dhoti? Why am I putting on a sari? Why am I putting on the neck beads, the tilak? I'm doing this to please Krishna. I'm doing this to please my spiritual master. I'm doing this to please Srila Prabhupada, you see. So in this way, if the consciousness is there for the pleasure of Krishna, then I will automatically become happy because Krishna is the root and we are the leaves on the tree. Hare Krishna Prabhu, who is Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. Krishna appears to put a stop to the heinous cow killing that was going on in the name of the Vedas. Lord Buddha came and he denied the Vedas. The Vedas are useless, you should just follow me. And he got the people to give up their cow killing. So he's actually a very merciful incarnation of Lord Krishna. Is Lord Buddha a Shaktavesh avatar? Yes, he's described as a Shaktavesh avatar. Maharaj, can you tell us about your relationship with Vishnu Jan Maharaj? I only have 30 seconds. It doesn't seem possible in 30 seconds. Huh? A little longer? But even still, I mean, anyway. Yeah, there's different types of gurus. There's the one who initiates you, he's your Diksha Guru. There's one who instructs you, he's Siksha. There's the guru who shows you the pathway. He is called Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. So all these gurus, they are worshipable. They are non-different from Krishna. And they are very, very dear to the devotees. So this particular devotee, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj, is very dear to me because it was he who convinced me to join this movement. Actually, I'd associated with other devotees previously to meeting him. And even though I liked the chanting and I liked the prasadam, these other devotees could not convince me of the philosophy. And I thought they were kind of weird fellows, these brahmacharis. I mean, what is it, a young man, he could have so many girlfriends. You know, what's he doing wearing a robe instead of cool blue jeans, you know? What is this? I couldn't relate to it. I even defeated one of the brahmacharis one time in a philosophical discussion on the campus. I defeated him. He couldn't say a word. I said, you Hare Krishna people, you say that your senses are imperfect, okay? Granted that this is true, the senses are imperfect. So with your imperfect senses, how can you say that Krishna is God? Your senses are imperfect. And his answer was, he couldn't say a word. So, you know, I had a certain attitude. I liked the devotees, but I thought they were a little naive. And a little bit, kind of out of touch with, 1969 Haight-Ashbury, California mood, But when I met His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj, I completely flipped. Completely showed me another world. I saw a whole other world when I met him. You see, he opened my eyes to a whole other world of consciousness. The brahmacharis that I met seemed to me like a bunch of boot camp recruits. That's how I related to them. They were a bunch of guys that just joined the military, they got their shaved heads, and they got their regimentation, and they're like at boot camp, doing all these heavy austerities in boot camp. To me, that's how I related to them. But when I met Vishnu Jana Maharaj, my goodness, this was an enlightened Paramahamsa descending in the spiritual sky. That's what it was like. I mean, it was a whole other world, This wasn't some character in boot camp. This was like a Shaktavesh avatar, an enlightened spiritual being who descended in our midst to show us how to achieve the unlimited bliss which is there within our hearts simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord with love. So that gives you a little bit more. Of course, there's a lot more I could say, but... The point is that Krishna consciousness is personal. We all actually depend on other devotees for our Krishna consciousness, and that's not bad. The more we can feel grateful to other Vaishnavas who have helped us, you see. Sometimes we see that people come to the movement, they get inspired by someone's preaching, and they come and they're really great for a while and they go away. That means that they did not maintain that feeling of respect for that person who had actually save them from their material engagements. it's very important that we always maintain that love and that respect for the devotees. Because unless you're a devotee of the devotees, what does Krishna say? He says, if you're not a devotee of my devotee, then what are you? Yame bhaktas, he said, you're not my devotee. Yame bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktas tache janaha, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, if you're my devotee, get out of here, you're not my devotee. You see? But if you are the devotee of my devotee, then you are my actual devotee. That's the statement that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna in the Adi Purana. So, we should be the devotees of the devotees also. So therefore I have a very special place in my heart for Vishnu Dhanaswami. Very, very special place in my heart for him. He's an eternal room in my heart, you see, where he resides. And I never let him go. Because he's very, very dear. And Prabhupada confirmed. Prabhupada personally told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. So that confirms it. Prabhupada told me that he had expertly trained me in Krishna consciousness. So how much I'm indebted to him. You see, how much I'm indebted to this person that Prabhupada gave such a stamp of approval to. How much I'm indebted to him. So everyone should see who has helped on them the pathway of Krishna consciousness. And one should always feel very indebted to those devotees. Whoever has helped you on this path, you must feel indebted to them. Because by that feeling of indebtedness, you see, your heart will become soft. And by that softness of heart, then the holy name will be able to penetrate through the thick coverings of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, and actually enter the innermost cores of your heart, where you will be able to unlock your visional divine consciousness as a pure devotee of the Lord. So in other words, if you want to be the devotee of the devotee. So yeah, I know I have gone 5 minutes every time, and there's no more questions. I guess it's the end of the list. So I'll go ahead and stop here. And I thank you all very, very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada is seeing each and every one of you who are participating in his movement here. And he's very, very pleased with each and every one of you, with how you're helping his movement. So please continue in this way, dedicating your life, absorbing your life more and more in serving this wonderful Hare Krishna movement. And your pathway back to home, back to God, it will be crystal clear. It will be wide open pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.